Well, good afternoon, Tim.
Good afternoon. I've just been outside for a walk and the sun was shining, and as soon as I came indoors, it's gone in again. So I don't know what that says about the weather or about me, but
That's very good
it's
timing.
It's certainly warmer anyway, isn't it, today, which is good news.
Oh, it is. But it's not yet got muggy.
No.
I'm sure it will, but for the time being, it's okay. Mm. Yeah.
It's certainly busier out there. The park is looking much busier. Kids are on holiday, of course. Didn't see an ice cream van, though. That's the only disappointment to date. Didn't pass one ice cream van. So
I'm very sorry about that, but we did have an ice cream last Friday,
yes, didn't we?
So I've still got that ingrained in my memory, that delicious white chocolate and caramel ice cream. Oh, so good.
I did, however, pick some blackberries on my way back to the church, and I've just finished them, and they were gorgeous. So
fantastic. Free blackberries.
Free food. Mm-mm. So we've survived another weekend, and lots has been happening around the church, as usual. Mm. And an extra thing that happened was last night we started Discipleship Explored, which was very exciting. After the technician managed to sort out the screen sharing on Zoom, but eventually I did, and people were very patient. But I realised just what a good course that is, Discipleship Explored. I ran it a few years ago, and I know the church, NBC's run it a few years ago as well. And just what a good course it is, looking at the letter to the Philippians. And we only studied the first 11 verses yesterday on session one. But hey, so much in there to think about and to reflect on. And it's just good to dig in with a few other people around the text. And it was a good group. And not too late to join next week. If anybody wants to join on Zoom, then drop me an email and we can give you the sign-in details to join Discipleship Explored. But good start. Enjoyable.
I can remember when I did this a few years ago, it was kind of a strange thing. We did it kind of a few weeks after it had been released into the wild, as it were. So it was this really new, fresh resource. And I didn't really know all of what it was going to be about going into it. But it was really a wonderful experience. And, the takeaway that I got from it was that actually it's all well and good, us going to church and praying and reading the Bible and even sharing the good news with other people. But actually, the real thing that Jesus wants us to focus on is our love of him. Because if we love Christ in the way that he wants us to do, which is the greatest love that anybody can ever know, all of those other things will come out of it. All of those other things will be offshoots of that one central theme of love. And you know, it was a great 8 weeks. We did it over, I think, 3 months or so in the end, because we were doing it around Easter holidays. So we took a week off for this and that and all sorts. But I had a really good experience, and it was great to go through it with some of the young adults from NBC. So good memories.
Yeah, and the first session was called Confidence in Christ. And it was a reminder of how we can put our confidence in him, and particularly poignant around this time. I think that a lot of us have been quite stoic and resilient for the first sort of 3 months of lockdown. But it begins to wear a bit thin, doesn't it, really, when you still can't do everything that you would love to do or see everybody you'd love to see. But, we place our confidence in Christ, and we can, be assured that he's with us and for us and loves us and cares about us. And I know it doesn't always make it easy, of course not, but actually we can still stand on that. And actually that segues into Daniel, really, for me.
Well, I was going to say, this sounds exactly like the book of Daniel as well, this idea of having confidence
in Christ. He was locked down for a long time, wasn't he? And we looked at Daniel 5 on Sunday, and of course this was Belshazzar now, and some time had elapsed, and here we are. And then we had this writing on the wall incident, and
which I would have loved to have seen happen. You know, it sounds really silly, but you see it in movies when it happens. It's normally in a horror film, let's not forget. But when you have some writing appearing on the wall, I'd have loved to have seen it. So much of the Book of Daniel I'd have loved to have seen, but this especially, it would have been incredible to have witnessed, to have seen what was going up on the wall. And if you understood what the words meant, God, it would have been like the worst horror film ever.
It's a bit of a, like walking under the subways in Newcastle under Lyme, really, isn't it? There's quite a bit of writing on the wall there that I don't understand or shouldn't really be understanding anyway. But you see these tags, don't you? Is that a graffiti artist sort of tag? And just looks a bit weird. But the artist really knows what it means. The artist knows what it means.
Sometimes, yes.
Or it's just a lot of squiggles.
Yeah, sometimes it's a lot of squiggles. I think it depends what part of Newcastle you're in as to whether the graffiti is intelligible or not, but that's for a different time.
Actually, one of those things about coming to Newcastle and Lyme is subways. I haven't come across many subways in places recently, so it's been lovely to reminisce about subways. And I don't mean the
shop. I was going to say, you can't be meaning the sandwich shop, surely, because they're everywhere. There's more of them than McDonald's is, aren't there?
I know. Amazing. Anyway, coming back to Daniel.
Yes.
It's just amazing, isn't it? And Daniel's quite old at this stage. And, you know, we started with Daniel 1, of course, and he's a teenager, young man. And he's still going strong, isn't he? And yet Daniel only gives us, the book of Daniel only gives us like the highlight reel, doesn't it, really? And we see Daniel sort of come in at such key times. But actually, what was he doing the rest of the time? And I think it's amazing to know that he was still there and he was still doing what he did until, you know, the Queen Mother remembered that he was there and he was someone who could, in fact, help King Nebuchadnezzar to understand the writing on the wall. And what an amazing tribute to this guy, I mean, who was still just doing everything he could until the moment when God sort of just stepped him up and used him for this moment again. And he'd used him before, of course he had. You know, we've looked at the other stories in Daniel. But here was another time when it happened. And the impact of it was phenomenal. Obviously, we're going to do Daniel 6 this Sunday, so I don't want to preempt the end of the story for us. But
don't spoil the ending.
Nobody knows it, of course. But just that he was there, and I thought, wow, what an amazing thing. So he wasn't always doing the big things, you know, the things that got the headlines, the things that the book remembers and writes about. He was doing small things every single day within the remit of the job that he had at that particular time. And he just got on and did it. And it was a reminder to me that how important all the small things are. In the book of something talks about don't despise the day of small things, doesn't it? And I think we need to remember that, because I think some of the frustration of lockdown has been that sometimes we feel a bit powerless to do big things, or you know, we've been furloughed from work and so that sort of big thing has stopped happening, or we've had to stop doing certain things that we've loved doing, you know. Teachers, you know, who I know, you know, teachers, they love the job they do because they're making a difference to the kids' lives. And then suddenly that's taken away and it's like, oh, my goodness, what can I do? So it just got me thinking about how important are the small things and how we should celebrate, you know, the personal things that so many people around the church have been doing during this time, you know, making a phone call to people, you know, sending a card to people. A text, a WhatsApp message. You know, those things have been so important during this time and we mustn't stop doing those. And now, of course, that lockdown's eased a little bit, we can now meet with
Six people in your garden, yeah.
We can't meet with 60 people, but we can meet six people.
Zechariah 4, verse 10, do not despise these small beginnings, for the Lord rejoices to see the work begin.
Exactly. And this is the beautiful thing, that what begins now during this time can actually continue as lockdown eases, as and when it does, you know?
Yeah.
And that comes back to Philippians as well a little bit, because yesterday Philippians 1 verse 9 says, you know, that God will bring to completion what it is he started. And I think we need to take some confidence that the seemingly small things that we've done, actually God is going to use every single one of them to bring something good out of that for his purposes. I was reminded of a little saying that I heard a number of years ago, which is, do for someone what you'd love to do for everyone. And yeah, it just means, you know what? I'd like to teach the world to sing in perfect harmony. But I can't teach the world to sing. Although, of course, these days through the internet, you might have a chance. But you know what? I could teach one person to sing if I wanted to. Or I could teach one person to play a musical instrument if I chose to. Or I could help one person. Or I could feed the world by feeding one person. Or I could, you know, just make a difference to one person on my street. So I just want to encourage everybody, because I think, you know, everyone's done an amazing job during this time, supporting and encouraging. Please keep on doing it, because at just the right time, God is going to bring something to completion and, you know, there'll be a bigger thing. None of us seek the limelight, I'm sure about that. But, you know, what you've started with one person, who knows what that could bring out at the right time when things get back to some sort of normality. So keep going, because Daniel kept going. He did everything that was asked of him on every occasion, in his leadership, in his relationships, in his conversations. And then God had this moment that then took him back into the centre of that world at that time. And once again, he became the advocate for what God wanted.
It's just amazing, isn't it? It's amazing to see how the story of Daniel has so many crossovers to our lives, both at the minute and through what we've already gone through in the past. And of course, linking it into all of these other passages, it's just, it is really enriching and enlivening. And I can remember when I opened up Daniel chapter 3, that I had that realization that the Bible's a living, breathing story. And any time I open it up at the minute, and I can't say that this has always been the case, but at the moment, every time I open up the Bible, something new comes out of it to me. There is something there to build me up. And it's just great. It really is. And, you know, thank you so much for that bit of encouragement today, Tim, looking at Daniel's steadfastness. I think that's probably a good word.
Good word.
And his belief and trust in God, his confidence in Christ.
Yeah, I've had some great conversations with people about, you know, not only what they're doing now, but also just want to encourage people to think about what that might look like later. You know, for us as a church, you know, what are we imagining that God could do for us, with us as a church, post-lockdown? You know, how are we going to serve our community, maybe in a different way? You know, what are the things that God is raising up at this time? And who are the people God's raising up? Because there's a community out here that needs to know Jesus, and our confidence in Jesus needs to spill out into the lives of the people around us as well. So let's be praying hard and discerning God's voice. Let's listen to the whisper of the Holy Spirit, not only for us as individuals in what he's calling us to do, but for us as a church as well, as we contemplate coming back together again and then hopefully reopening our doors so that we can serve our community in his name.
Fantastic.
Thanks, Tom.
Fantastic. As we do every week, we would love to pray as we conclude what today has been a shorter NBC Connect podcast. And as usual, our prayer is coming from Unite 714, a global campaign to reach out amongst all the nations through prayer. Here are some words from Psalm 133 for you today. Behold, how good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell in unity. It is like the precious oil on the head, running down on the beard of Aaron, running down on the collar of his robes. It is like the dew of Hermon which falls on the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord has commanded the blessing, life forevermore. Let's pray.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, today we are praying in agreement with millions of believers from 179 nations, and with one voice, we are asking you to eradicate COVID-19 and heal our lands from its ravages. Millions and millions of people around our world have lost jobs, educational opportunities, and the basic human interactions and relationships that help us to connect with one another. Many people are struggling to simply obtain food in order to survive, while others are mourning the loss of loved ones. In a world that's permeated with hopelessness, you are the only answer. Father, in the name of your Son, Jesus, eradicate COVID-19 and heal the peoples of our world from its devastating effects.
We also ask you, Father, to continue the work of making us one. As our world is becoming increasingly fractured by social, generational, ethnic and religious tensions, the unity of your church is even more essential. Purge our hearts from every form of bias and prejudice, so we can serve as ambassadors of reconciliation to our broken world. Lord Jesus, make us one, even as you and your Father are one.
Scripture promises a fresh release of the Holy Spirit's anointing into the lives of your people when they learn to live as one. We pray for local churches, including our own, to be freshly unified. Let them be filled with the presence and power of your Holy Spirit to boldly proclaim your message of salvation. Heavenly Father, in the power of the Holy Spirit, revive your church and save millions of people around the world.
Psalm 133 likens the unity of your people to the dew of Mount Hermon. Even as the dew from this mountain enriches the climate of Israel, may your people enrich the spiritual, social and relational climate of their cities and nations. As we choose to pray, serve, love and proclaim your word, make us the answer for a world permeated by fear, despair and anger. We pray for our world today. We pray for the people in Beirut. We pray for those who are managing the terrible situation. And we pray for your people in that community to rise up and shine with the light of Jesus. Father, in the name of Jesus, transform our neighbourhoods, cities and nations, spiritually, socially, relationally and morally, that we might look like you, that your kingdom may come and your will be done. In the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much for joining us for NBC Connect today. We've still got loads of things coming out over the next few days. We're continuing with Alpha tomorrow evening on Thursday. Don't miss our Friday update, our bedtime story on Saturday, which this week has got a very curious title, Jesus and the Lion's Den.
Mm.
You heard that right.
Wow.
Not Daniel and the Lion's Den, Jesus and the Lion's Den. So that'll be released on Saturday evening at 6 o'clock. And then, of course, on Sunday, we'll be finishing our series looking at the Book of Daniel by focusing on, well, it's quite a well-known story, isn't it, Tim?
Well, I think so. Most of us probably know it, but if you don't, it's very exciting, so don't miss it.
Have a really wonderful week, and we will catch up with you next week as we continue NBC Connect online and through your usual podcast provider. Have a wonderful week. God bless you. We'll see you soon.
Bye.